may be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 5. Please do join me there. This morning we'll be focusing on Romans 5, 12 through 15. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we approach you. Give us great joy in what you have said and great joy in what you have done. And cause us now to apply it to our hearts and to apply it to the ways that we live. The ways that we live towards you. The ways that we live towards others. Our closest neighbors, our furthest neighbors, everyone with whom we come into contact, that you would be glorified in a people who live out your gospel, even as they express your gospel, for the encouragement of the saints and for the salvation of the lost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a small child, one of my great joys was when my parents would take me on little hikes. The closest hike that we would go on was just 100 yards down over the hill to where our spring house was. And when we'd go into that spring house, we could find the most amazing things. There would be sometimes a frog crouched in the corner ready to jump into the tub there, the concrete tub. Sometimes we'd find large salamanders swimming around and we would delight in catching them and we would have them and we would keep them for a while. But if our parents were even in an even better mood, we could ask, would you take us down to the keyhole, which was the valley about a quarter mile down. And there was actually a puddle that we called a pond. And there we could catch our absolute favorite, the salamanders known as newts. And we would capture them and we would bring them home. Well, at different times, we would get different adventures. At different times, we would enjoy little things, and life would grow as you have experienced. There were things that were great and marvelous for you at different times in your life that now it's just ho-hum. And our deacon, Mr. Diamond, said his daughter had her 7th birthday this past week. And she was just so happy and elated about her birthday. He said, I wish I could be that happy about things. Well, we look and as different things shock us or surprise us or we marvel at different things in our lives, times come where something comes that it's even greater than all of the things that we've looked at, all of the things that we have marveled at so far. As we looked in Ezekiel 37, we saw and we can imagine Ezekiel looking at the valley of dry bones and in shock and awe. And terror. But then something greater came. Something more marvelous. A display of might and power that brings from death life. Now we each wrestle with death in different ways. Some of us, we don't think about it at all for ourselves. We just look and we fear death for our loved ones. Some of us look and we fear death for ourselves. Some of us look and we see the sin that's within us. And we fear and we hate it. Because that is also death that's in our lives. We look here and God is explaining this death that has come and has spread to all men. It touches each of us. Some of us, we've lived long enough and we've seen grandparents pass away. That impacted us. Others of us, it's come closer. We've seen parents pass away. That's touched us. Some of us, we've seen spouses pass away. And it's touched us. Well, we look and we see and we fear and we dread. And yet we see that something greater, more powerful than death has come. And as each of us would look and we would fear death daily in these different ways, in these different capacities, and we'd feel it in different ways, we see something greater than death has come. Greater than the grave. Greater than your own sin. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has overcome death. Across the board, overcome the death of our bodies, overcome the death of our souls, overcome the death in our daily lives in the form of sin. So the call this morning is for you to marvel at this great grace. More than you would marvel at the death of family members. More than you would marvel at your own death. More than you would marvel at your own sin. Because this is the power and the victory that has overcome all of it. Put your hope here. So our first step, as we're looking at, we have to comprehend this death. We have to understand it, to see what was beaten. We have to see what was overcome. So we look now, and I call upon you with our first step to see obedience as tied to life. See obedience as tied to life. We look, and as a people who are in grace, and as a people who live in a culture of sin, sin doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. Sin doesn't seem to be that thing that we look and we wonder at the end of the day, have I sinned against God today? And we would examine ourselves and examine our lives and we would grieve if we had committed a sin. We don't see that generally taking place in our lives. But here we see what is going on. So in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly. Now, he says this to get everybody's attention. He says, I'm not just rattling on here. He says, verily, verily, truly, truly. In the Greek, it would be amen, amen. I am saying this certainly so that you know it and you grab it. He says, amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. This idea that hearing Christ, believing Christ, this is life. This is what life really is. Each of us, we wrestle and we struggle, and somehow we continue to flirt with death, even though life has been given to us. In 1 John 1:1-3, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also so that you too, listen, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 16:11, you will make known to me the path of life. This path of life is walking in what He has said. This is real life. This is true life. We run after different things and we enjoy different things that are in fact sin and are in fact death, the things that undo us. But in obedience, in that fellowship with God, in that living in His Word, that is the place of life. Now we see the contrast now, and this is our second step. See disobedience as tied to death. Look with me again at Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We look at this, and this might seem at different times in your life far off, but it's not. The reality stands all around us. The reality lies all around us that this sin is death. There was a time my family and I, we visited Rose Point, and we were driving back on a Sabbath, and we looked, and there was a man putting up a ladder and working and doing his business. And I was struck for the first time that this could be a capital crime. Why would it be a capital crime? Because he's disobeying God, and disobeying God is death. It's striking to walk down the streets in Beaver Falls and you hear the sin. You can see the sin taking place with the prostitutes standing on the corner. You can see the crimes going on in your daily life. You can hear people blaspheme the name of God. Sin is everywhere. That means death is everywhere. All around us, we stand in the midst of the valley of bones. We are an unclean people, as Isaiah said, in the midst of an unclean people. We deal with our sins and our crimes. We look and see that the sins go deeper than just prostitution. That it flows to our hearts. The very thoughts of our hearts are crimes against God. The very thoughts of our hearts are death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And there we stand. There is the reality. Our neighbors and our loved ones. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. And God puts it, gives us this stark picture, which is, this can be taken literally, but should also be taken and can be applied to your own life. Proverbs 5:3-8. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. This is the case with each of your sins. It seems like honey. It seems sweet. It seems smooth. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. This death is everywhere. This sin that you commit outwardly is tied to death. Your heart, the crimes in your heart, a cord goes from there and is tied to death. And you feel it. You who are in Christ, you feel it in the consequences of your crimes. You feel it in the cold watches of the night when your sin comes to mind. You know that sin is tied to death. Deuteronomy 3:24, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. These commandments given by God. Now this brings us to our third step. Note how death reigns where people don't submit to Christ. Note how death reigns where people do not submit to Christ. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who have not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. This idea of death reigning, or death being in control of the circumstances of our lives, we look around and we see those people who are in sin and know them as slaves of sin. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, again, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. This idea of being a slave, we don't like that picture. We don't like the idea of us being slaves. We don't like the picture of us being ruled. One of my neighbors, who, as near as I can tell, is the worst, I can hear him screaming and cursing from inside his house. I see the activities that he does and the things that go on that just look as if there's some wickedness there taking place. I see and I hear his children wail and I hear them sob. I was driving and I looked and I made eye contact with him and smiled and waved, and he just looked away from me intentionally. And I was tempted to hate him. But then I thought how miserable he must be. How miserable to live in a house of such turmoil and shouting and cursing and anger with children that are continuously disobedient, to live in crime. When I asked him the day I met him what he did for a living, he scoffed at the idea. How terrible to be such a slave. How terrible to have such a life where death reigns. Death is ruler in a life like that. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? If you look at the icons, the American idols, we could say, then the sports stars, for example, do you see life reigning? Do you see righteousness reigning? Or do you see death reigning? And we see the end of such people in death and in judgment. In John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Satan. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his thing. That's what he does. When Adam was given the command in the garden, he was given the command of life. Satan comes in and says, did God really say? Did he really say that? And he says, you won't surely what? You won't surely what? You won't die. You surely won't die. Take and eat. And he became ruler of mankind, who followed and believed Satan rather than following and believing God. Now the serpent, Genesis 3:1-3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will surely die. Satan says, you will not surely die. Each of your own sins, you've heard the same whisper, haven't you? Each of your own crimes, where God says, don't do this or you die. You hear that voice, this, you won't die. You won't die. And each time when we submit to it, who do we follow? Who do we obey? So whose slave are we then? John 16:11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, Satan is put forward as the ruler of this world. Not above Christ, but when you look and you see the deeds that are being done, we see that it's true. The world is in slavery to Christ. So this brings us to our fourth step. See that death is over all mankind. See that death is over all mankind. Again, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 18, explains the sinfulness of the estate wherein man fell. It's in the want of original righteousness, or the lack of original righteousness. Adam crossed the line. He trespassed. He became a transgressor, and everyone born of him by natural descent is already born on the other side of that line. Born as a transgressor. It is the reality of life. It's expressed this way in Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Next, it's described as the corruption of mankind's whole nature, which is commonly called original sin. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. And maybe we should just stop there for us, right? Out of the heart come evil thoughts. That's the fruit of what we are. It's the fruit of our heart. If we go outside and there's an apple tree and we see an apple, we're going to shrug and say, yeah, that's an apple tree. There's an apple on it. It makes sense. If we look at our own lives and we see sin, what does it say? Behold a sinner who was brought forth in iniquity, who has experienced the corruption of his whole nature, that original sin. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. And the last phrase in that catechism is, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. And James 1:15 displays this. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The reality of the world around us. And this brings us to our fifth step. To see your sin as rejecting God. See your sin as rejecting God. See, the nature of sin is not loving Him. Not being committed to His truth. Not being committed to His glory. Not being committed to obedience. This is our expression when we sin. So it's not just this thing that we happen to do. Sometimes we call sins mistakes. Sometimes we act like we just stumbled. And frankly, maybe sometimes we have. But you know those moments where you've come to a crossroad, where you've had to choose. Do I obey here? Or do I disobey? Do I embrace what God has said? Or do I reject it? John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. It's a terrifying place to recognize ourselves. It's a terrifying thing to see that not only are our hearts tied by sin to death, but we keep taking those cords. And when we take that upholstery needle and we pierce our own hearts and we tie it off again and again, tying ourselves to death. But not being left there as God's children. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. In Psalm 119, 97, we see the word given and we given hearts to rejoice in it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. In John 17:17, Jesus cries out to the Father on your behalf, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And so now, God brings us to this new place in Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, that is Adam, many died, many entered into death, and here we are to the much more. To the much more. You've moved from the spring house now to the pond. You've moved from the pond to maybe our trip next year to the Rocky Mountains, where you look and one time we delighted in huddling in this dark, dank spring house, to where you stand on a mountain and you see the splendor and you see all of God's glory before you. He says, you've looked at death. You've seen the bones. You've tasted everything that Satan can give to you, and you found it bitter. After having seen this death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. See, death is before each of us. That reality is there, but the power has come that has overcome that death for you. The death of the grave that we will each know if Christ tarries. The death of the grave of our loved ones. The death that our hearts are tied to. Those cords cut. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And saves you and rescues you from the powers of sin and death. Much more is what you have been given. Much more than the grave is what has been accomplished on your behalf. Coming as a free gift. One of the themes of Jesus' ministry could be much more or greater than. As he walked the earth and all of the things that the people had been taught to put their trust in and their faith and the things that they'd marveled at, the Sabbath that they held, he says, one greater than the Sabbath is here. And they could drop back and be shocked. What? One greater than the Sabbath is here, and he declares himself Lord of the Sabbath. They marveled at Abraham, and they thought that was their salvation, looking at Abraham. And he tells them, one greater than Abraham is here. They could be thrown back and say, what? They marveled at their temple. And Jesus tells them, one greater than the temple is here. The death that you face, one greater than your death is here. Here to fill you. Here to hold you. Here to see that you persevere through each of these deaths. So marvel. Marvel at life more than death. Marvel. Marvel at grace more than death. And may this be that great joy of which we sung in Psalm 95 this morning. We come and we worship. We come and we bow down. We come and we give shouts of joy. And not just today. Not just here. But for the rest of this day. And as the course of our lives. Marvel at this great grace. Pray with me. Lord, bless us now. Well, I trust that you have blessed us now. That you have shown us the reality of our own crimes. The reality of the death around us. And the reality of life everlasting in your Son. God, be glorified as we respond to who you are and what you have done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 71.